Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
It's a really great question, isn't it? Why? Why do we keep trying to fill our lives with things that won't satisfy? How many generations need to be wrecked by drugs and alcohol? How many generations need to fall into the trap of continually running through relationships, seeking things that just won't satisfy? And yet, it seems like the most difficult lesson in the world for us to learn. Well, if it's any help to you, because all of us have done this, when there's something missing in your heart and in your life and in your spirit, and you don't know what it is, you just fill it with more of what you have gotten some kind of satisfaction with in the past. So if it's any comfort to you, this is not a 2019 problem. St. Augustine in the first century, in describing the struggle with humanity and coming to terms and to peace with God, says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Sometime later, by 1623, Blaise Pascal, which was an extraordinary person in history, he was a mathematician, an inventor, a physicist, a writer, a theologian. He had major impact on our understanding of the barometer, the mechanical calculations. He was one of the architects of the first mechanical calculator. And here's how that came about. His dad was a tax collector, and he watched his dad labor over all of the mathematics of trying to calculate tax for people. So he made his job easier by inventing the mechanical calculator. I'm not sure I'm grateful to him for that. But he was very, very much involved in science and life in general. And here's what he said. What else does this craving, talking again about the human condition and this helplessness, proclaim? But there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find. So seeking in things that aren't there the help he cannot find. Though none can help, since this infinite... This he tries in vain with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find, in those that are. So seeking in things that are not there, the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and an immutable object, in other words, by God himself. And out of that philosophical thought came the idea that there is a God-sized hole in each and every one of us. There is something that no matter how much we expect those around us to fill, they can't. And no matter how much we pursue those things that aren't there, even if we found them, they could not fill. And so we're back at the question, why? Why do we keep trying to fill our lives with things we know won't satisfy? This series is entitled Something Missing. And it's really a series for all of us. There was a time in my life before I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was trying to understand what was going on, and there was something missing. We often discover that whatever the pursuit is, whatever the goal is, we get to one milestone of life and we think, boy, when I get there, things will be different. But they aren't. There's a God-sized hole. And for those of us who have not found faith and come to Christ, that hole is there. And then I also discovered that even on the journey of faith, there are times in our journey when we come to a place where we go, you know, at one point in time I was on fire. At one point in time, everything just seemed to make sense and I felt like the Lord was talking to me. But now, even on my faith journey, there is something missing. And so this series is about that question, regardless of where we are. A journey of faith is a journey of discovery. It took me a while as a follower of Jesus to recognize that there was always new things to learn, that the disciple, and that's what we call ourselves, disciples of Christ, is that we're an imitator of both life and teaching of Jesus. And it's an extraordinary thing because you learn a lot when you begin to try and be a disciple of Christ. And there are two great areas of discovery. This could be handled differently. There could be different discoveries as well. But for me, there are two major areas of discovery when we set out to follow Jesus. The first one is the Trinity, God the Father. What does that mean? Why did God give us the picture of a heavenly Father? And discovering more and more each day as I follow what that means is a journey of discovery. I don't have that all figured out. I mean, even the concept of the Trinity is an idea or a concept that's really beyond our own understanding, and yet it is. We discover God the Father. We discover God the Son. We discover more and more. The more I follow Jesus, the more I understand and the more I see and the more I learn. And the truth of the matter is there are moments when we may think, well, we've read those stories. But I'm telling you, as we follow Christ, there is always more to Jesus. Jesus is like a diamond, the finest diamond in the world. And if you look at that diamond from one position, you'll see the beauty. But in a diamond, the reflection, if you just turn it a bit, if you just move a little, you'll get a whole new understanding of the facets of that diamond. That's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, this incredible comforter, counselor, guide. We are on a journey, and some of you in this room have been following Jesus for a long time, but you're still discovering. And for some of us in this room, we are just starting out, and it will be a lifetime of discovery. So that's one area of discovery. But there's another area. There's another place where the lights begin to come on when we set out to follow Jesus. The best way I can describe that is to tell a story of Reykjavik in southern Iceland. Is a popular tourist place. And many, many bus tours come, the thousands and thousands of people. This is a picture of a natural geyser there, and it's one of the reasons that people are so attracted. In the midst of all of that cold, there are these hot springs that people gather at, and some even claim they have some healing qualities, at least to your spirit, if nothing else, or to your mind. And then there's the northern lights, right? So beautiful. It's an actual picture. Just incredible. The waterfalls and the hiking trips. And it was on such a bus tour that a woman made an incredible discovery. It came as a result of an accident. There were people from several different nations who were on the same bus, and there were multiple buses in this group. And they went from place to place, and there were language barriers they had in trying to understand. And they began to board, and the buses began to set out and leave and return to the hotel after a day of journeying and some hiking, when it became apparent that somebody was missing on the trip. And immediately they became very, very concerned and sent out an alert that in the Egin region of southern Iceland, there was a woman of Asian descent. They were trying to unpack her name. This is all happening really, really quickly. She's 5 1/4 inches tall. She is 5 1/4 feet tall. You really could lose her if she was 5 1/4 inches tall. She's 120 pounds. She's wearing black clothing, and they said details to follow. They were trying to find her passport and find her and find her name. And they dispatched a couple of helicopters from hundreds of miles away that began to come because this was a serious issue. And all at once, as members of the bus tour began to be involved in the search, a young woman looked at that description and said, "Well, that's me." She had went inside and changed clothes at one of the stops, sat in a different place, and the friend that she made panicked and thought that she was gone. She's the only member of a search party to find herself on the journey. It's amazing. I always wondered why Jesus said to the disciples, "Come follow me, and I will make you." Instead of saying, "I'm going to teach you everything you need to know, and you're going to find yourself, and once you find yourself, you come follow me." Oh, when you set out to follow Jesus, it's extraordinary what you discover about yourself. The subject matter this morning is what we discover about power. power. Our problem is often that it's not that we don't know what we should do. We do. But somewhere in us, there is a lack of the internal fortitude or courage or strength that there is to do it. So we will have ideas about ministry. We will have ideas about calling. We will have ideas about calling a friend and inviting them to church or checking in, but we never go through because there is a lack of power in our spirit. And there's something missing for a lot of us and for all of us at some point in time. It's power. The courage, resilience, or strength to do what we know we want to do, should do, and must do in order to fulfill our divine destiny. Now, we use the phrase divine destiny intentionally and very carefully. Divine destiny does not mean that we're all God. It means that we believe that God formed you in your mother's womb, that he has a purpose and a plan and a reason for you, and he has wired you uniquely, and there are things in this world that he wants to do in you and through you, and that is your divine destiny. It's the place where you will find the most satisfaction, the contentment, because you are where you were designed to be. How can we have the power to get there? The issue of power for the believer and for really for all of us reminded me of this. This is a works, drill, and driver. It's mine. I can't believe that someone actually asked me last night after the service, is this really yours? Like, I'm not supposed to own anything like this. I was looking for a drill and driver a few years ago, and Menards had a sign up and said, this will be your go-to drill and driver. And so I went and bought it. And I'm telling you, it's my go-to drill and driver. It's amazing what these little tools can do. But what I discovered about this tool, perfectly designed, it's just beautiful. I mean, the color scheme is awesome. Perfectly designed is that there's two parts to it. There is, of course, this, which is the tool itself, created, designed to get things done. You want to drill a hole? This will do it. You want to put a screw in the wall or unscrew it? This will do it. But this is only one part of it. There is a power supply that needs to be connected. And the power supply can't just be close. The power supply just can't be near. It's got to be connected, because without the power supply, this is almost useless. Now, it's not totally useless, because you could use it as a weapon if you had to. And I guess you could screw things in with it. You could probably even drill a hole that way. But as beautiful and wonderful as it is, when you take this tool and you attach the power supply and you pull the trigger, now you're in business. The same thing is true of the believer. The same thing is true of us as individuals. The fact is that before we come to faith in Christ, you are created beautifully and wonderfully. You have talents and gifts, and on your own, without ever coming to faith, you can do some things in this world. But you will never know the intent of what God had in mind when he called you until you connect with the Savior. And the problem with us is that we get out there and we get in a position where we say, I don't understand, because I have this dream, I have this calling, and I have the gifts, and I want to do these good things and right things and God things, but I don't have the power. It's also true for those of us who are believers, because it was a day when you were on fire, a day when your testimony was bright and sharp, a day when the word of God spoke to you, a day when you gave sacrificially, you served others, you were in, and then something happened. The drill bit fell out, it's all good. Then something happened. And somewhere along the line, you lost your power. And the things that didn't used to bother you just eat at you right now. The word of God just doesn't speak. And then something happens in your family. There's a jam, and you think, I've got the power, but you don't, because there's been a separation from the power supply. If the something missing in your life is power, then I want you to consider a couple things today. Because they're just right there. It's so close. Power. It is a connection to Jesus that frees and cleanses us from sin and enables us to become who we were intended to become. We have no power until we can connect to Jesus. Now, no power, like I said, you can do things in the flesh. You can do things with just your own will, and some of those will be noble and some of those will be good. But you've not been called to do things in the flesh. We've been called and created and designed, made in the image of God, to do things in the Spirit. And at just the right time, while we were powerless, Christ died for our sin. And the reason that so much of the time early in my life I struggled with becoming who I really thought I should be and doing what I really thought I should do was because I was doing it on my own and I wasn't connected. And there's one way to get connected. If you're not connected to God today, if you're not connected to that power, if you have not accepted him as your Savior and ask him to forgive you, maybe you're watching online, wherever you are, the Word of God says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And suddenly, where there was no power, suddenly where we were helpless, Jesus will bring to us new life and new purpose and new direction. It is the connection to Jesus that frees and cleanses us from sin and enables us to become who we were intended to become. So at the close of the service today, I'll be praying. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I was baptized, or I became a member of the church, or I've done this. I didn't. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, have we come to that point of confession? Have we surrendered our lives to Jesus? Because that's where the connection comes in. And Christ died so that God could come to humanity and give us what we needed to be free. But it goes on from there. The truth of the matter is, it's not just that we get connected, but that we stay connected. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the key word there is remain. The key word there is remain. And the influence of God in our heart and life and the influence of the Holy Spirit moving in us comes to a great, incredible beginning in Acts chapter 1. Now, you have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the very next book is Acts. And the Gospels all culminate with a moment where Jesus has risen from the dead and he's told his disciples, I'm going to go away, which is kind of freaking them out. They don't get that because their power was in his person, his physical person. And so Acts begins like this. In my former book, The Office, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. There could not be any more prepared people than these disciples. These disciples had seen him raise the dead. They hadn't heard about it from somebody. They were there. These disciples had seen him turn water into wine. These disciples had seen him walk on water. These disciples were as prepared as you could possibly be. They had watched him die on the cross. They knew all about that. And he's about to toss them the keys. How more ready could you possibly be? So the 11 disciples gather around him. He's preparing them. And then he says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Because remember, the call has been, you're going to go and make disciples of all nations. You're going to go and you're going to spread the word and all of that. And they're like, yes, let's go, let's go. And he's going, oh, no, 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 no. Not yet. I don't want anybody leaving the room until you receive what my Father is going to give you. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? We would really love to use these tools on Rome. We would really love, because that's just where they were seeing and what they were thinking. But he said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, because their power just left. I mean, it was Jesus in the bottom of the boat that kept them, the storm from causing them to crash. It was Jesus that enabled them to maneuver their way through the Pharisees. And it was Jesus who had kept them safe as long as Jesus was here. And now Jesus is gone. So two men dressed in white were dispatched to come alongside and go, hey, what are you guys doing? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then, in Acts chapter 2, as those disciples gathered with others, and they begin to pray, Jesus is gone. Yeah, but he said he was going to come back. He said he was, as a matter of fact, he had said to us that it was better that he goes away because he would be with us and he would be in us. And what in the world does that mean? How do you think he'll show up again? And someone must have said, I think he'll probably come in through the wall like he did for Thomas when he just kind of appeared in the doorway and in the room and showed him his hands and feet. Yeah, that's probably it. And someone else said, now he might come in through the roof, or he might come and suddenly the wind began to blow and things begin to happen and they're going to go, where's Jesus going to come? And here he is, inside. And those disciples who had run from the fight, those disciples who had hid, that disciple who had denied him three times, suddenly go out into the street and begin to preach the gospel. And drills started working, okay, maybe not exactly like this, all over the world. And the movement that would put the nails and the screws into the buildings that you're building got their power at Pentecost. It is the connection to Jesus that frees and cleanses us from sin and enables us to become who we were intended to become. The Apostle Paul said it this way, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of being filled with the Spirit for the believer. And early in my journey, I recognized that as grateful as I was for the forgiveness of sin, I wanted all of God to move in me. I wanted God to have all of me. I mean, I had all of God, but I wanted God to have all of me. And in those moments, the Holy Spirit will fill us, and sometimes that's what's missing. We have not yielded to the Spirit in our life. And the Apostle Paul says, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through. And that language in the Greek is like the movement of a pendulum. May he sanctify you, cleanse you, set you apart, fill you, refresh you through and through and through. Because that's what he does. Because the connection is so critically important. So how am I connected? Am I connected? Sometimes the thing that's missing is the connection. So you got to check your connection. I hate that moment. It may be like TV, dish TV or something. I don't even know what we have. Some form of TV. It may be the wireless internet or something. But anytime I call for technical support, Abraham Lincoln, which is generally the person's name, I don't think they live here, says something to me along the lines of, sir, is it plugged in? and I feel so stupid. And I got to tell you, about half the time, I'm just going to confess right here, about half the time I lie and say yes before I go check it, and I'm panicking when I check it. Please be plugged in. Please be plugged in. To check our connections. How's your connection to His grace? When was the last time that you celebrated the grace that you've received and the grace that flows through you? When's the last time that grace flowed through you? What's the connection to His love? You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when I recognize there's not a lot of God's love flowing through me, it's because I'm not receiving it in the first place. Sometimes you just got to go back and recognize that you are God's beloved. He loves you. What's your connection to His teaching? We're not disciples of Jesus if we're not students and learners and followers of Jesus. We're just not. We may be admirers of Jesus. We may be fans of Jesus. But we connect with Him in His word in a powerful way. Are we connected to His work? Well, what am I doing with my drill? What's God doing with my life? Am I engaging all of this for Him? Where? How? These are just check the connection kind of questions for us. Am I connected to His presence? We believe He is here right now and He is not silent. It's part of why we focus on this gathering and we trust so much because God will speak to you. Some of you will have a nudge today and you'll think that I knew something about what was going on in your home. And if it wasn't me, it'd be some other pastor or preacher up here. And you'll say, how did they know what was going on? We didn't, because it's not us, it's Him. What's my connection to His will? Am I doing what He's called me to do? Is there an act of obedience in my future a step of obedience I need to take? Whatever that might be, to engage. Has He nudged you to be part of a small group? You need to be part of a small group. Is He nudging you? He's already told all of us that if we're following Him, we're to be baptized, so that you don't even have to pray about. That's just reality. Is that a step you haven't taken? What's our connection? Because see, what we want is we want more from God when we haven't ate what's on our plate. Connection to His Spirit. Have I asked Him to fill me? And connection to His people. Sometimes the thing that's missing is power. And the absence of power, this is so true, causes us to simulate life. When we can't do what we know we should or we want to do, and there's something that we go into a holding pattern. We just go through the motions. There's a great book by Jeff Goins called Wrecked. And it's a great story of how for this writer, he was on his own, doing his own thing, pursuing his own way, and he came face to face with things that are going on in the world and hardships and difficulties, both right next door and around the world, and it wrecked him, and he decided to engage. And he talks about how for many of us, the thing that's missing is our engagement in what God is doing. He says, but what is our pilgrimage? We have no great war, no epic struggle to embrace, no cause to call out the best in us. So what do we do instead? We play. Did you know the average age of a gamer is 32? That's the average age of a gamer. Now, when we think about that, they're referring, of course, to video games. But we said last week that in terms of us as people, we spend $100 billion a year playing games. $56 billion to get in to see a game played. We're not playing. We're just going to watch it be played. And he says, there's nothing inherently wrong with the diversion in games, but that is certainly telling about our culture, isn't it? Instead of raising families or creating culture, we are sitting in our living rooms with our eyes glued to the television, simulating life. And so the reality shows we just get drawn to simulating life. Have I connected? Am I connected? How and where am I connected? Before you begin to wreck everything else, before you begin to change out everything else, the thing that's missing is often that God-sized hole that only He can fill, and that power that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Today and this week, I'm going to challenge you, Tim, come on up if you would, to connect to his grace, to receive his grace. His grace is all over this room. Those of you who are watching online, his grace is where you are. I'm going to challenge you to connect to his love. Allow yourself to realize that his love for you is unconditional. And if you'll let him, that love will flow through you to others. Connect to his teaching. Is that where the connection is, bro? Connect to his work. Connect to his presence. Connect to his will. Connect to his spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify, to fill you. If you're a believer today and you're missing power, I challenge you to pray that prayer. And it will be a filling and a refilling. It's a journey, but it is a critical part of the journey for the believer. And then there's one more thing I'm going to challenge you to do. You pray. You say, God, I want to follow you. I want to join you on the journey. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. You connect. You say, God, I'm out here. And there's no power in my testimony. There's no fruit in my life. And I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then once you do that, there's one more step. Pull the trigger. Take the step. Use what God has given you. Step in. Follow the nudge. Take that step. Because it doesn't matter how powerful we are if this just stays on the bench. It doesn't matter how powerful it is if I just carry it around in my hand. I can sing about it. I can write letters about it. I can read books about it. But that's not what you were made for. You were made to engage where God has placed you. And you're making a bigger difference in the lives of your children and grandchildren than you could ever understand when you pull the trigger. When you give the testimony, when you have the awkward conversation, when you love unconditionally, when you forgive the way Jesus did, when you take a step and you sacrifice for the kingdom, there will be all the power you could ever need. Let's pray together. Lord, this message would land in so many different places in people's lives that it's difficult for me to even think about drawing it to some kind of singular conclusion. For those who have not made a commitment to you, or maybe they have toyed with the idea, or they've negotiated with you in the past, I pray that this would be a day for those who are not believers, who have not accepted you as their Savior, who have not asked you to forgive their sin and come into life. I pray that they would be born again today, because that's the power that's here. It is birthing power. And so whether online or in this house, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would bring new life. And for those of us who have followed you, and Lord, we have, many in this house have sacrificed for you and served you. But at some point in time, Lord, it can happen to all of us. There's just this, we just don't have the strength anymore. I pray for a renewal of your Holy Spirit, for an infilling of your Holy Spirit that would cleanse, an infilling of your Holy Spirit that would refresh and renew. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today and help us to pull the trigger. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.